So maybe if you could tell me something about the Telkoma, so that we know well.
Uh-huh.
Just a few sentences.
Few sentences. But you are familiar with origins of Metelkova, basically.
Yeah, but we never talked to a person who...
Okay, yeah. So the project Metelkova is actually 12 years old. It's based on the so-called network of Metelkova, which was connected with the movement which happened to be then national. That means going from 88 on, and it was the initiative of the Peace Institute of Ljubljana. Still in the moment when four people were arrested by Yugoslav army in 88, and then was simultaneously initiative that some of the barracks could be transformed into cultural centers in Ljubljana. What was the case afterwards only in this very place, but of course from completely different origins as they were before. The city authorities began to ruin buildings in September 93, so it was the call for emergency for immediate action. And another group of people, apart from those who had the idea to transform military barracks into cultural center, deliberately squatted the area, around 200 people over the night, because we were informed that the right-wing city authorities began to ruin the buildings. So that's the reason there are some holes in the building, in the buildings here in the square without historical memory, as it's named now. And immediately afterwards, the activities were parallel on two levels. One was more reformistic, more going into lobbying, into discussion with city and state authorities. The other one was more in autonomous way of thinking, going more into transforming it from completely different origins as the reforms, lobbying, etc. What is still the situation today? Because some of the representatives of this softer lobbying way are now almost completely on the side of the big urbanistic plans of Ljubljana on transforming Ljubljana into a new architectonical shape. They are, to make long story short, they are on the side of the city council, which has now idea to destroy 90% of all existing area, and what is very tricky and very dangerous, to build up all three new buildings for art academies here. And beside them also a small building, which could be, by their interpretation, cohabitat of art academies and so-called youth cultural center, what is, for my opinion, completely useless, because you cannot divide culture into youth culture, into old culture, into subculture on such level as Metelkova is. It is or it is not. I mean, this particular youth cultural center was never needed in Ljubljana, and it was kind of invention for bigger control from the youth organization, youth socialist organization, especially in the 80s, to have youth under the control. So they invented it. It's like the student club or something like this, and that's the idea, which is completely different than the idea of being social, cultural, political active in the center like this. So this is basically the problem now. The idea is very serious. Metelkova now has a status of almost concrete ghetto, what was very well seen on the demonstration against Bush-Putin summit a month ago, month and a half ago, when the police cordons simply on the first level knew that the demonstration will be finished here in ghetto. So the only way was to go back here in ghetto, and it was really like a Warsaw Second World War experience. That's the only place when we can escape. All around was the police, and this was the only exit or the only entrance. Depends how you see.
Do people live here or stay here?
Mostly visual artists are living and working here, and the majority of people are sleeping in other places, but being very active almost 24 hours per day. For instance, this club, when we are, it's the club Gromka, is the only place which runs continuously program every day, and it's opened also every night. So it's the kind of very important club now, because I think it's a high emergency that all Metelkova activities are very, very optimistic, and even in quantity, not only in quality, important in the days of the when we can speak about direct war with city and state authorities. So if you're, yeah. Okay.
No, I just wanted to ask another question. What happened in 1991 in Slovenia didn't have any influence on this project here. It was just because you named it.
Yes.
The year is 88, 93, so the year 91 is not important for Metelkova, is it?
The only importance from that year was that the idea of transforming military barracks into cultural center was still on the agenda. But till October 91, this was still the area was blocked because the Yugoslav National Army was leaving Slovenia quite slowly. I think the last soldier left Slovenia in October 91. That means 4 months after the 10-day war. But yes, of course, it is important, because place was all of a sudden empty. But afterwards, the hands was all around, and it was kind of blocked area. It was like a beginning of building something. So we were waiting. But I think it was the correct time to being active in 93. That means almost 2 years. Yeah, 2 years afterwards. Exactly 2 years after this place was waiting for something. So we didn't decide to squat it earlier. Maybe because the group of reformists, the softer group, was too strong, too good, settled also. They had very good jobs, and maybe stronger media control. And then suddenly, over the night, the picture changed. And we were equal, in a way, or in a way not, because now they are closely connected to city authorities and state authorities. For instance, certain personalities are representing themselves as representatives of Metelkova, but we who are working here, we don't see them at all. They are also receiving state money for the so-called Project Metelkova. They have a lot of initiatives like on the FARE program, but nothing changed. After years and years of being involved on the position of those people, they simply did nothing. They're just representing it. And it's, in a way, dangerous and also very useful for the official authorities to have such personalities. I mean, a couple of days before, again, it was in the main daily, the interview with such a person. I mean, it was like a virtual interview, like interview about virtual Metelkova. So I think the story next year's will be very interesting, because this Masaryk Street there on the north will be transformed into the big boulevard. So according to urbanistic plans of Ljubljana, this should be like sold for the best capital offers. It's a very expensive area. It's still center of the town, and they're making new railway and bus station, and the big boulevard going northeast to the main ring around Ljubljana. So it's also very important to represent Metelkova as the urbanistic problem of Ljubljana, not speaking just from the point of view of the problems in the ghetto, because it's not enough. The story is much bigger.
I mean, Ljubljana and Slovenia seem to be quite special in its, because it's so eager to normalize, you know? I mean, the I mean, for you, it's an everyday thing that you experience the way how the Ljubljana city authority or the Slovenian state authority only want to be normal, but normal in a Western in a Western way. So all the problems you describe now are very could be transformed to other cities in Vienna or anywhere or in Paris or Barcelona, wherever. So there are typical that. It's quite typical that cultural projects, just like Metelkova, on in one point want to work together with the city authority. It's a very, I think, it's a very Western thing, and I feel that Slovenia has a very special way to deal with this normalization. It's very eager to show its. That it's ready for Europe or something like that, I don't know. So when we started our tour, we saw this ambivalence of how Slovenia deals with itself and the European Union. Because on the border, the problem of Schengen seems not to exist for the people there. And everybody talks about the time in 2 years, the 2 years to come, or in 5 years when Slovenia will be part of the EU, and then we won't have this border anymore. But still, Slovenia is outside, you know, it's on the other side, and Slovenians don't have a good chance to get working permissions in Italy or in Austria. So, how do you see that?
You answered these questions already. Yes, so many times Slovenia is behaving even like more European than Europe is, and it's also, you answered very well, it's a virtual story. It's, it has nothing to do with the reality, and people are not aware that in many ways they will behave like the situation is, that it will be the second, if not the third rate European Union country. If I think about so many friends who are very well educated, but now they are working for big corporations like French automobile industry here in Slovenia. I mean, what stories I hear, it's simply exploiting the second or third rate, very cheap working class here in Slovenia, to use the old terms, but the majority is not aware of this, of course not. They are proud of very basic, very rough things. They see only the kind of image of Europe. They cannot feel the reality. For instance, in the times of anti-globalization movement increasing, in Slovenian official media, you cannot see very good reports. You cannot read commentaries made on the author basis here. Everything what is good here is either in completely independent media, what are very rare, let's say, half independent, like Mladina Weekly, etc., all other stuff is translated from German, French, or Italian weekly papers. And simply, even in this very important issue, people are not skilled to understand this. So from the official journalists here, you can read great, great stupidities and making great mistakes, misleading the people, and to connect this story to the European Union story, it's even worse, because a lot of place in the papers and in electronic media was just booked for the European Union agenda. So I think battle here is lost. What is good is to inform people more and more, and next step is, of course, NATO. And I see NATO issue as the much, much more important. This will be a kind of opportunity to start, because I think the NATO story will not go such well, such smoothly through as European Union story here in Slovenia.
And how do you see do you think that the Slovenian government or the Slovenian people are aware of what the problems will be when Croatia will be outside the EU and Slovenia will be inside? I mean, the whole Schengen system expanding to the south, which makes the border existent. This border between Slovenia and Croatia was kind of invisible or inexistent for decades or centuries. Is it a problem for the authority or for the people or for you?
Different for different people. And it's a very complicated story, because the relationship Slovenia-Croatia is not so good in the last 10 years. Even the border question is not finished. And while they are discussing this border details between Slovenia and Croatia, they are, of course, forgetting and mystificating the question of the future Schengen border, which will be there. And it could be very misleading. And I think it's a great part that the story about duty-free shops, about the 100 meters of the border on the seaside between Croatia and some details are really, really so stupid, and the majority simply goes for them, and the papers and all the media are full of such stories. And the main story, of course, is what you suggested and asked. It's much, much more important that some areas are very sensitive. Let's speaking about Istria. Even nowadays, it's a great border dividing people. I mean, Istria is something special, and same people were living in Slovenian, Croatian, and Italian part, and now the relatives should go via two borders to visit family or friends speaking in same area, same mixture of three languages, living the real good multicultural life, I mean, on completely different basis as in the West, and it's the Istria could be very sensitive in this if I see it as a particular problem. Really, I cannot imagine Schengen border in Istria. It's a kind of nonsense.
What we experienced was that Slovenia is actually something like a second degree member of Schengen, which means that refugees who want to go to Italy are sent back to Slovenia, but then Slovenia has the right to send them back to other countries like Hungary and Croatia.
Yeah, like
so the border between Slovenia and Croatia,
so-called third secure countries, yeah, okay,
is already existing. I mean, Slovenia is already planned into the Schengen system nowadays without being a member. and the situation in Istria kind of works already?
Yes, in a way Slovenia passed the test very well. It's a very useful country. It's a kind of, I know just this good Balkan expression, it's so-called Krajina. And Krajina means the borderland of something, the borderland between something, like the white Krajina in the south of Slovenia was always the great fortification against the Turks coming to Austro-Hungarian Empire or before to Habsburg monarchy. It was kind of a settlement for people from the south who were especially lots of Serbs still there in the south of Slovenia, in Bela Krajina, completely assimilated, but still these are the people who centuries ago were a Krajina against the Turks. And I see Slovenia nowadays kind of combination of this Krajina kind of state, very secure state, a kind of passing all the tests of being able to make Europe secure, and on the other hand a kind of tampon country where all this fluency is kind of softened, and problems are not so big, but on another level, of course, they are still huger, and we feel it here in everyday life when Slovenia is transforming into a kind of very well-controlled police state, in a way.
What are your experience with this police state in Slovenia?
I mean, yesterday, as a kind of example, if you want to know, a friend of us, also a member of the Office for Intervention, was visited by police very early in the morning because apparently the Molotov cocktail exploded in front of Italian embassy on Friday when it was, I think it was 2 weeks after the Carlos death. Yeah? No, a week. They were celebrating 1 week, yes. And some people were bringing flowers, and they left, and during the night the Molotov exploded, and completely automatically the police visited this guy. They brought him here to show where is the headquarters of the Office for Interventions, and such kind of maltreating, I mean, going directly to certain personalities, accusing them for terrorism or things like this. Yeah. I mean, these are very dangerous stories. It's part connected also to activities during Bush-Putin meeting, where it was no violence, fortunately, but we observed that the mechanization and armification of police was much, much stronger than it was half a year ago. So a lot of budget went for another activities, for technical equipment, vehicles, etc. So we observed it was a strong move towards making police much stronger than it was.
And when you say that Slovenia is, or the Slovenia authority is misleaded by its visions of the future, the European future, I would like to give another, maybe more cynical positivism. If you see it from the other side,
yeah.
You could also say that the European Union doesn't know or is misleaded by its impressions of Slovenia or Croatia. Because, I mean, especially for this Schengen thing, because when we were in Gorizia and Nova Gorica, this parted, this split city,
yeah.
It was strange because we heard that Umberto Bossi was just there a week before or 2 weeks before, and he asked the Gorizia authority to build a higher fence or a higher wall between the cities. And on the other side, the Novogorica citizens, they don't care at all. They just maybe they, some of them help refugees, so-called illegal refugees, to get on the other side. So it's kind of, if you could, I mean, Europeans, Western Europeans would call it a kind of Balkan way to deal with borders. So maybe the European Union doesn't, or puts too much trust in this Slovenian governments, Croatian people, whatever, and maybe it's the Balkans will be a possibility for refugees, always will be a possibility for refugees to cross the borders, because people maybe just don't care so much as they do in Austria or in Germany, where people are caught by citizens. I mean, You have cases in Austria and Germany where normal citizens catch refugees and bring them over to the police office.
In a way, you're right. It's nothing new that European Union is not recognizing Balkan habits and way of life and mentality very well. But to play ping pong still more, Slovenia is in great many ways no more Balkan country, if I observe the mentality 10, 15, 20, 30 years before and nowadays. So even in Slovenia it's possible to happen that so-called normal citizens are, let's say, in the western border calling from the shop to the police that it's a black man in the shop or something like this. I mean, it's very strange for this country. It's something new for me. I felt much more Balkan mentality in Slovenia before than nowadays. So it is happening that the behavior, I'm afraid, in majority is westernizing in this way. But for the minorities, I don't want to be pessimistic. I mean, but still, they are minorities. I mean, official ways go European way. In some very strange mode, but they go European way. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just experience and feeling and mentality. I can put you some examples more. But it is so, yeah.
Your cultural work is quite local, or is it also national? Do you cooperate with other cultural institutes in Slovenia or in Europe? Or do you concentrate on Ljubljana?
You mean me personally?
Yeah.
It's a quite nice combination of work, because I give some lectures in sociology, so I have contact with students. Partly I work with some program as a freelancer in Film Archive, which is mostly international collaboration. So mostly I do multimedia silent films with old and new music, so I am involved in this part. And when programming music here in the club Gromka, I'm also connected, but working particularly in regular work in the local place. Yes, I like it. I mean, it's strange. I cannot divide here global and local in this kind of work. For instance, here I do a lot of avant-garde new music and improvisation music events. This you could be familiar if you know the Nikolsdorf Konfrontation, this kind of music. You know this festival in Burgenland? Okay, it's a very special kind of music that attracts not so many people, but somehow I found it important, and so I bring those weird new electronic and improvisation musicians here, and it's a kind of strong network which cannot be. It's even without a history, because it's improvisation and it's also, I think, crossing very liberally the border between being global or local. I mean, I cannot feel it like this. But I must stress that I like regular work, because speaking globally, world is becoming world of spectacles, festivals. Every village has its own festival. I like regular, everyday work, special concerts. I mean, special regular concerts, bringing without shape of the bombastic festival. But we also do some festivals here from another point of view on the festival. It's kind of anti-festival. I mean, we do 5 days or 7 days of event, but if events, but shaping them on a very humorous way, with anti-propaganda, with anti-commercial approach. But basically, people are informed about it, and they're starting to understand it. It's maybe it's even from the 80s on, when Ljubljana was quite famous by its alternative movement. It is a kind of special, okay, let's say, local approach to festival politics, to organize something very quickly, to go to oral commercials or via emails. But mostly the official media are ignoring it because they don't understand. For instance, they last months, they are also not covering the programs here at all. They're simply not making reviews. It's very strange. Same group could perform in big cultural center, Cankarev Dom, and two or three years afterwards here in this place, and they're not reviewing. It's very strange, but it is so. Like with the audience, it's a kind of censorship. If this group has 500 people in Cankarev Dom, in a big cultural center, that means same group could have 200 in Cinematheque, where I work, or maybe 50 here. So it is a kind of censorship working in this micro-cultural level, how the place defines who is the audience, what is the audience, who will review it. It's very useful. I mean, for me as a sociologist, I'm on a way to make another doctoral thesis here. It's like
a reaction of the newspapers, of the authority, to your more autonomous approach.
I mean, I don't care personally. I don't care. But sometimes it's maybe good to have kind of coverage or that somebody is telling, kind of reviewing it, criticism. But it's still good because the personal criticism is on a very high level here. Slovenians are basically very introverted, but here in this area, in last years, we began to speak very freely and very directly. So these feedbacks are going on. So we are on the earth in this way. But when programming and enjoying, we are somewhere in the space also, maybe. Who knows? Is it of some use for you?
Yes, it is, especially, of course, from our point of interest. I think the role of Slovenia is much use. But what I wanted to ask, that when he was talking about Nova Gorica, people told us that the illegal refugees are being brought to Ljubljana, to this detention center.
Yeah.
Now, and people said that this place is quite full, like there are more people there than there should be.
Yeah, about four times more.
Is there some kind of social exchange between Metelkova and the detention center?
Yeah, we are in quite good connections. Maybe not so good in programs, because we are trying always to find some people who are able to help in programming. So we are stronger on social level, and especially here in the kitchen, because we have regular grill here every night, and this is maybe much better connection than programming. And some people also active on Metelkova are working like volunteers, like a non-formal social workers, because they have social workers there in the center. But whenever I talk to them, they're too official, too bureaucratic. It's a really official social worker. So I think it's very important that people who are observing social work from different point of view, and that it's not their job, that they're volunteering there.
And when you were talking at the beginning about the ghetto-like situation of Metelkova, I somehow was thinking about our experiences that we had in Genoa.
Yeah.
When you have some kind of part of the city, the red zone and also the yellow zone for some extent, that you are not allowed to go to, which means if we say our some kind of ghetto was the Indimedia center, so this was something where we could say, okay, here we might be safe. The place wasn't safe at all, but from our feeling here, this was like the point that we could move to, because the camps that we were staying at, they were not, police had been there before they had been to the Indimedia center. And this is not really a question, this was just what I was thinking. And then I thought of when you were talking about the situation between Slovenia and Croatia and the European importance of this border, that it's more important that people do not cross this border illegally, because as soon as they pass the Croatian-Slovenian border, then they are more or less in the European Union already. And from the having this stupid Schengen image, or the Schengen construction, this somehow was irritating. I think not only for me when we were in Nova Gorica, and it was like there is a fence that is this high, mm-hmm. and the so-called border, Schengen border, which yeah. is like, which is obviously not the borderline itself. It's the thing that moves into a country and out of a country, a mobile border that works in, and that's what brings me back to Genoa.
Yeah, that works everywhere.
Yeah,
also in inland, also inside.
And it was just this.
It's also connected with strengthening the police forces and all. I think it's a problem everywhere. And also, I have example from Belgium. It's even worse than fortification, the police forces in all the Schengen countries, inside Schengen countries. I think that situation of controlling the Belgian ports, the boats that are going to Great Britain from Belgium, is representing the very, very dangerous situation, because it's not controlled by police, but more and more by private securities, by private security men without police uniforms, but with some new uniforms. So also the so-called parapolice is controlling this stuff, and I find it double dangerous, because on the other hand you have this state control and you have also this private control. State is confirming these private securities as they can do their jobs, and I think it's very dangerous, the increasing of this control.
And also the robocopification of the police.
Yeah.
But I don't know, the images of the police in Genoa were not as irritating as in Salzburg, where the EU summit was at the beginning of July, because the Austrian policemen, they really looked like insects. So it was their uniforms. I've never seen uniforms like these before, except in some movies.
Mm-hmm. So it's all like plastic, or some special plastic,
yeah,
which is kind of shiny. And you have these things here that makes it move. And then all the parts of the body are represented in kind of an outside insect-like plastic thing.
Like
it's maybe like
metallization,
metal,
like metal cars.
You would see the muscles outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I was also surprised and frightened here, because it was, as I said, strong move with this Bush-Putin meeting. They were showing also some new types of how to frighten people. But basically, in this country, they had no experience in direct fight. And as I observed them eye to eye, they were very, very afraid. And
you mean the policemen?
The policemen were very afraid here, yes. I mean, you see the faces inside. And my idea was, okay, we were also not so good prepared, because it was very, very hot. But with a better preparation, we could sit in front of them and just waiting that they will fall, because they were... I would like such action of more this psychological tension. I mean, not experimenting for any case on every level, but just to see, because they were on the level of collapsing.
And the other thing I was thinking about, you said you were working for the film archive.
Yeah.
Now, when we are doing field recordings, I don't know if there is something you could say about field recordings. We have been doing field recordings for 2 or 3 years now, so it's somehow very, very important for us. And it's something that takes us out of the city, or it makes our audio space to
mm-hmm.
hear more. We are more aware
yeah.
of what we hear. And if we try to find some kind of theory, or if we try to explain why we are doing field recordings, then we would say that we are trying to make some kind of political sound, or to a level of politics into field recordings.
Very quickly, I have an idea where to go. It's a river between Slovenia and Croatia. It's a river Kolpa. Kolpa is very known from the anecdotes and vitsen I remember from when I was very young. They were saying, when I will grow up, I will be custom officer on the river Kolpa. In the times of Yugoslavia, it was this kind of bad joke. But what I want to stress is that this river is very warm and very clean. It's It has the C degree of temperature now, so it's around 24, 25, 25 now. It's a beautiful resort, and maybe you can make some of the last recordings before transforming this into the Schengen River. It will not be that clean, and bathing will be for sure forbidden there. So maybe next year you can make some nice summer camp, not so direct political, but last recording of the crowd on the Kolpa River.
Yeah, we were at the Idrija River, which is the Slovenian Italy.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it seems like a description of this, of that river as well, but it's not that warm. It's like maybe 17.
Yeah.
But it's very clean.
It is, yeah. Was it border river between Italy and Slovenia? Yeah. So you are deep into the borders. Speaking about the borders, I remember one detail from Metelkova. It's in these sensitive centers, it's always dangerous who to exclude, who to include. Mm. I mean, it exists certain border when simply some part of population is not possible to socialize, to even on the basic ways, not possible to identify with the place at all. And it's a big discussion in last months here, because it's one part of the city authorities is also that they allow completely free drug dealing here, mixing with the clochard way of life. So I call it in a kind of sociological theory, the narco-clochard para-society or para-community. And it's just that some walls that are built here are just process of how to put those people out of the ghetto, because it's really impossible to deal with them. Or it's, I think it's the part of the game of the authorities that they allow. I mean, now it's the one and the only public drug dealing goes via Metelkova, and they don't react at all. Whenever you call and, for instance, report the register plate of the dealer's car to the police, they don't react at all, and it's a very dangerous part of the game. So now we are together with this Axt und Kelle German collective, we are working on how to build up maybe some sculptures or some other objects on the places when this para community is gathering. So simply how to put them out of the ghetto in a very soft way. This is, I think, also the very important border question of socialization. Where to stop, where to say no, who to allow. Because these places are really socially very tensive, and yes, in a way, much more sensitive places like majority of other culture centers. I mean, like mainstream ones, which are not that colorful. But also, speaking about the area, I think that the squatted area here is still one of the hugest in the continent. Now you are free to go to dinner. Where do you stay?
Stayed
at Ljubljana,
and some people were sleeping at Luka's place.
Luka Frelik. Yeah, with glasses.
No,
it's boyfriend, Dunja's boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
He's working. for Ludmilla.
Yeah, because there are two Lucas.
Oh, yeah,
Ludmilla.
And I don't know exactly, we thought of going to Eisenkappel in Carinthia today, but there we have a contact who we did not get in contact with today. So we thought we stay in Slovenia, heading towards Carinthia and do some camping. Mm.
Go to Kolpa River.
But it's the other direction.
Huh? It's the other direction. Yeah. But it's so close. You can cross the border still illegally, swim back. Here, no, for a stupid reason, one of our colleagues, she suggested during the winter that it's too smoky because we are selling cigarettes, but it's really no argument.
So I can get
Yeah? Zdravo. Ja, izvoli.
Kaj pa stoli dekli?
So pregnani.
To mi deli. Zdaj sem kaj probil, da se
je. Ti bom pa sigurno.